Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So
yeah,
let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, May the 15th, 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I have to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, got a very, very important topic for you today. We want to break down the what I call the golden rule. We want to talk about the central theme or the science behind God. The science behind God, my brothers and sisters, is very interesting because this helps to remove a lot of the debate, a lot of the argument, a lot of the issues over the different names of God, the different gods that exist in the world today. So we were talking about this golden rule, if you will, or this ideal or this theme that runs through all of the major religions in the world. It is very interesting to me that all of the major religions in the world has what is called the law of reciprocity, R-E-C-I-P-R-O, and then the word city. It's the word reciprocity. Now, what's interesting further is how this law is treated and how this law is based upon this concept or this ideal of altruism. So all major religions on the globe has the law of altruism at its base or at its core. Now, that's very profound to me, because what that means to me is that just like in physics, just like in biology, just like in sociology, just like in theology, everything boils down to one. And the further away that you get from the one, the more confusion you have. And so that's what is going on in the world today. We have a manipulation of the one. That's what's going on in physics. That's what's going on in chemistry, especially chemistry, when we have this one essence, this one frequency, this one wave or this one vibration that is being manipulated. And so when we talk about the primary teachings that's found in every major religion on earth has this basic core, and it's called altruism. And so when we look at this basic core, it really, really, really removes all of the debate. And when we talk about this debate, what is the debate? Or is there a debate? Because there really isn't a debate once you look at the basics. And that's why I like words. Because people can argue over the definitions of words until you trace the meaning of the word back to its original. All of a sudden, all of the debate is gone. Because now you're staring at facts and you don't have a belief. Now you have concrete evidence that proves how you got to the definition of the term that you're using. Now, it doesn't get any better for me because I try to stand up on a firm foundation, meaning that what I try to do is really focus on not the facts, but on the historical evidence. Because I know if I can find some concrete evidence that is hard to manipulate, then I can also find something by which to stand upon to establish, again, not a belief, but a knowing. So I don't want to have a belief. I want to have a system of knowing. I want to be able to stand in front of a firing squad with loaded weapons on automatic and be able to stand confidently, knowing that no bullet will graze or no bullet will touch me. So I try to do that before I ever open my mouth. Because I know the hidden science, there is a unseen force behind the hidden science. So the principle of the one true God is the science. Today, we're breaking down the science behind the principle of the one true God. So every time you see the word God, there is a science behind this. All other gods are manipulation of the one true God. Now, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, that the Lord your God is one." The Bible says that. Now, the God of the Bible, the Hebrew God, the God of the Bible, the Israel God, that entity, that deity, one of the attributes, one of the characteristics of that deity, like all deities on earth. Now, you can go to Google or any great search engine and you can type in this phrase, golden rule in religions or golden rule in all religions. Or type in universal stream or universal theme of all religions. If you type in that word, the universal theme in all religions, you pull up something. And it goes through and it lists all major religions on earth. Well, we're talking about the Bhagavad-gita, where we're talking about Hinduism, Buddhism, Sufism, Taoism, colonialism, Sheikhism, Christianity, Unitarianism, Native Americanism, Zoroastrianism, Judaism, Jainism, Islamism, if you want to use that, or Islam. All of these major religions all have the same basic core, just like in chemistry. You can go to chemistry and you can pull up 118 different chemicals. 118 different chemicals, brothers. 118 different chemicals, sisters. 118. And out of that 118 different chemicals, they all are exactly the same. They all have one molecule, hydrogen. All 118 chemicals are a division of one chemical. Let me say that again, Father, please. Heavenly Father, please. Father, I come before you on my knees. I strip myself of every ounce of pride, ego, and arrogance. And Father, I decrease that you may increase, that the people will hear you and not me. Father, it is my prayer because there are souls that are hurting. There are people that are dying. There are people that are going to the grave manipulated. Father, I pray in that name that's above every name, that you touch the minds and the hearts of your people, that they don't hear me, but they hear your heart. They hear your love. They hear your joy. They hear your peace, your long-suffering, that will remove the yoke of bondage from off your people, that they be set free to worship the one true God. Brothers and sisters, my plight has been different from yours. I got to this point not because I wanted to. I got to this point because I had to. Because the only other option for me was death. I like living. I wanted to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle when she gets married. I wanted to see my children graduate from school. I wanted to experience this thing that we call life. But something happened to me that I didn't order. I didn't request it. I didn't volunteer for it. I didn't sign up for it. I don't know if you know what it likes to you to lose the only caregiver that you ever had in your life at the age of 8 or 9 years old at the hands of a person with a Bible and a collar. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you can relate. So I'm not trying to hear to con nobody. I'm not trying to change no damn beliefs. I personally don't care what you believe. All I know is I had a hole in my heart that no amount of money, no amount of sex, no amount of drugs, no amount of alcohol, no amount of anger, no matter what I did, it couldn't fill the hole in my heart. That was a hole in my freaking heart, brothers and sisters, that was the size of the freaking Grand Canyon. And that hole has been in my heart for the time I was 8 years old up until January the 1st of 2009, when the real God filled that hole with love, with joy, with peace, with gentleness, with meekness, and with self-control. Up until that date, I was a suicidal freaking maniac because I wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. I was angry because somebody took something from me, and I wanted to take something from you. I wanted to cause pain. I wanted to cause hate. I hated everything. I killed everything that freaking moved. Plants, animals, people, I set out on course. My goal in life was to destroy God. That was my goal in life. God took from me, I was going to freaking take from him. So for my passion is different from yours, brother. My passion is different from yours. That's why I don't debate religion with no reverend, no doctors, and no bishops, because they freaking playing. And I will put a bullet in the head quick, because this is not a game to me. When you get to this point in life where it stops ceasing to be in a debate, and you challenge, I challenged God to show up in my house, and he did. So I don't know how you came to meet your version of your God. But I can tell you how I came to meet my version. And I would take on any comer on any planet at any day to come up against my God. I challenge anybody to come up against my God. Because, see, my God ain't lost the fight. My God is different from everybody else's God. See, my God is universal. I can find my God in anywhere. I can go outside right now. I just came from my backyard, and I stood at the sun, and tears filled my eyes because I was in the presence of God. I don't need no damn building. I don't need no freaking book. I don't need no reverend, no doctor, no bishop. I experience God every day. I experience God right now. He's right here, right now, in this room. I feel his presence. I ain't got to conjure up. I ain't got to light no freaking candles. I ain't got to put on no holy garb. I don't need no damn holy water. I don't need nothing. Because my God is everywhere. He's all present. He's all knowing. He's all power. Now, forgive my righteous indignation today, because this is the one subject, out of all the subjects that I talk about. This is the one subject that I am the most passionate about. That's why I try not to talk about this subject, because I don't and I cannot go back to Egypt. I can't water it down, brothers. I can't. God has done too much for me. I can't play with God like everybody else. I can't play. I can't go to God. I can't play, man. I can't go to church and sit in the back. I can't. God has been too good. He's brought me too far. I can't play, man. I don't have time. My intensity is too great because my God is too great. I don't serve a watered-down, weak, jelly-back God that you pray to for 40 freaking years and he don't talk to you. My God is a right now God. He shows up every day, all day, 24/7, 365. When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no damn evil. I don't give a flying banana what the devil got. He can't even touch my God's freaking shoestring. This is altruism. Altruism, my brothers and sisters, is beyond the pale of the average person's imagination. It is the total opposite of egoism. That's God. Ego is a predator. God that I serve is a provider. You got a predator. He feeds off of you. He takes advantage of your disability. He needs you to give him alms and offerings and worship. My God don't need none of that bullshizness. My God is a giver. He's not a freaking receiver. He tells me to leave my gifts at the altar and go to my brother, who I see every day. Get up off your knees. Why you worship a God you have not seen and you hate your brother who you see every day? Until you can answer that question, we can't talk. So you serve a God, but you hate people. You serve a God, but you want to strap a bomb on your chest, walk into a building and blow everybody up, and you serve God. You serve a God, but you can't tolerate nobody. You can't talk to nobody. You got no grace. You got no mercy. You're arrogant and you're cocky, but you serve God. That is not the God that I serve. I don't understand. Because I guess unless you've been where I've been, you don't understand how restored or restoration from being polarized, which is what the word ego means. Ego means polarization. So when you're polarized, it means something happens to you that sends you down a road of a dark, evil place. See, the devil gets you when you're young, so that way he keeps you when you're old. That's what the Bible says, that to train them up in the way that they should go when they are young, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. But we're training them up, in egoism, not altruism. Let's break down those two words before we reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the true one God. What everybody has is a God that is an egoistic and an altruistic God. I used to have that God too. See, the ego is conceited. The ego places value. It has a habit of valuing everything as long as it fits one's personal interests. That is the God that everybody got. Everybody has a God that fits their personal interests. There is no one on earth that I've met and talked to that has a God that doesn't fit their own personal interests. Go talk to the KKK. They got a God that fits their personal interests. Go talk to the Muslims. They got a God that fits their personal interests. Go talk to Christians. They got a God that fits their personal interests. Go talk to the witches. They got a God that fits their personal interests. Go talk to the Satanists. They got a God that fits their personal interests. Go talk to Buddha. They got the monks out in Tibet. Go talk to the sheep in the desert. Go talk to the Zoroastrians. Go talk to the Native Americans. Go talk to the Unitarians. Go talk to freaking the Sufisms. Go talk to the Kabbalists. Everybody got a God that suits their own personal interests. And it's not until your personal interests die, and until, that's what the Bible says, until you lose your life, you won't find it. So when my mother died, I lost my life. I didn't want to live. There was no reason to live. So I set out on a course to destroy my life. I didn't have the cojones to put a bullet in my head, so I sought the best way that I knew how. There was to put myself in harmful situations. The suicide by cop. That was my option. So what I did is I set out to put myself in harmful situations. I did everything humanly possible. I did stuff that I cannot tell you right now today due to the fact that if I told you, you would look at me a little differently. I don't know if I would be your guru anymore. By the way, you did that? Yes, I did. There's very few things other than take a human life. To this day, I mean, the dude I shot, I think he lived. I ain't seen him. So murder is by probably the only thing I ain't done. Other than that, why did I do it? My view, brother, of morality rests on my own selfish ambitions. That's God. The ego says this. The word ego is E-G-O, an ism. All isms are schisms. It's a ism, a ism is like everything from baptism or ism, Darwinism, plagiarism, intellectual isms. Isms are systems of thought. Those are ruling dispositions. Those are declarations. A ism is a schism. A ism is a state, a condition, a doctrine. A ism is a dodecahedron. A ism, every time you see that word ism, you know you got a schism. And a schism is a state or a state. It is a mental disposition. It is a ruling disposition. It is a principle or a practice. Just like paganism, just like terrorism. All of these isms are demons. Those are ruling dispositions. So anytime you see the word vegetarianism, that's a demon that controls that doctrine. When you go to college, I just came from my sister's daughter's graduation. When you get a degree is a ism inside of one specific schism, and there's 360 of them to make a full circle or kirka. So you got a degree, you got one. There's still 359 more to go. So when you get a degree, and look at the definition of the word degree, if you don't believe me, you just got a ism. Now, that's the god of this world. That's egoism. So ego is a demon. It's a system. It's a doctrine. It's a principle. It's a practice. It's a mental disposition that is established over criticism about your current mentality or your current ism. So I need to change your current system, your current theology, your current doctrine from Sufism to Darwinism or some other ism. Well, how do I do that? Through criticism. And so when I was a kid, I was criticized. Now, there was a good reason for them to criticize me. I was a bad little kid. I got into all kind of isms. And so they replaced one demon with another one, a stronger one. So that's why I learned the hierarchy of demons before I ever went into the military. And one of the demons was called realism. And I was a kid. I lived in a dreamism. I live in a dream world. I used to use my imagination or imaginism, and it was replaced by realism. That then they used criticism. And then somebody introduced me to intellectualism. And it was another ism. I had realism, but before that, I had my imaginationism. I lived in my imagination. But how did they get me there? They took me to church, and they gave me another Christianism, and they used baptism. They're dunking me under the water that represented a new disposition. But it still was a ism. We said, Brother Will, I don't know about all that, dog. You lost me. Well, just remember a ism, ISM. That's just code for demon. That demon, again, is a code for disposition. Disposition is the code for the way that you think, because thoughts plus feelings equals manifestation. So the devil needs you to manifest his will. God's trying to get you to manifest his will. So there's a war going on for your soul to see who is going to manifest what. So God, the big G, the real God that I'm talking about, he wants you to manifest love. The little G wants you to manifest hate. And so the war is on. Who is going to win? Are you going to use egoism? Are you going to use altruism? They're both ruling dispositions. One is led by the Archangel Michael. The other one is led by the Archangel Lucifer. Whose side are you on, brother? Whose side are you on, sister? Egoism. Egoism must be replaced by altruism. Notice the word altruism is the word all true. So I'm getting ready to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify to you the all true. This is the only truth on earth. Nothing else exists. Everything else that exists is a manipulation of this one thing. So every religion, I don't care what religion you got, it's a manipulation of the bigger religion. Remember, I don't care what chemical you got, brother. Please, please don't believe me. Please. I don't care what musical note you got. There's only one musical note. It's called a yut, U-T-E. Every musical note is a manipulation of the one. There's only one chemical element. It's called hydrogen. Every other element, 118 other elements, are all a manipulation of the one. There's only one God. Every other God is a manipulation of the one. Everything on earth is a manipulation of the one. There's only one color. There's only one color. Every other color is a manipulation of the one color. When you shine a white light through a prism, you get color. But if you trace it back, you come back to the one. Every religion is a manipulation of altruism. And how do we manipulate? We manipulate the all with the ego. So E is entity, it's energy. So if I can get your energy to go, so it's called egoism. Egoism is simply self-interest. Now, the word ego, now remember, ISM, it just means disposition. So ego means the I. So it's a I disposition instead of a we disposition. If you look at it from a psychoanalytical perspective, and if you understand it again from a therapeutic perspective, it's the focus, the egoism is the focus on the self. So all psycho and sociopaths are egotistical maniacs. They suffer from egoism. They have a ism, which is a doctrine or a principle that is based upon fulfilling the needs of the self. Bump everybody else. So it's a person who thinks and feels like, hey, everybody owe me something. So you go through your life with a feeling of entitlement. Anybody know anybody like that? Oh, man, I know a bunch. I know a plethora. I used to be one of them fools. Hey, something bad happened to me as a kid, so, hey, everybody got to pay. I'm sorry. You know what? You owe me. But damn, I don't know you, bro. I don't care. You owe me, man. You owe me. So egoism is walking around believing that everybody owes you something because, hey, you had a bad childhood. The ego is very dangerous because the ego is attached to all of the self-help stuff, self-esteem, self-image, what was self-love? What's wrong with that? Well, there's a big problem with that. After 20 plus years of coming out of this psychotropic, schism, being ruled by this entity that says, hey, dog, you should be the subject of your own pursuit. You are responsible for maintaining your own self-image. You should establish your own moral code. You got to establish your own cistern. Remember in Jeremiah? Cistern is a system of knowledge. A cistern, C-I-S-T-E-R. Remember, that just means a cup that holds water. Since you're made up of water, God, again, has already given you a cistern or a cup. You throw his away, or because, his, like, I didn't voluntarily throw his away. I didn't know. I was a little kid. Something bad happened to me. I didn't know how to process it. So I was like, okay, I got to come up with a system. So that's what I did. Now, they call that schizophrenia. When you fracture the soul. Now, according to modern psychology, it's called arrested development disorder. So my development got arrested. Anytime you experience a traumatic event, at any time, even people who go adults, there are people who went over to combat over in Iraq and they came back. When they was in war, they was faced with certain atrocities and they couldn't handle it with their current self. So they created an alter ego to handle what they saw. They saw charred bodies, man. They saw little kids, dead or shot up. They had to do, these acts that goes against their moral code. So they produce an alter ego, to go out. This is a separate paranoia or a separate conscious mind based upon the perception of the environment. So this new mind now is responsible for carrying out these heinous acts because the original mind cannot process how to do it. So you got to create an alter ego. You got to create a self. You got to create a false individual that's able to go out and not feel. So that's what I did. Now, I didn't voluntarily produce these IDs, or as Sigmund Freud talks about, these, again, altered states of the ego. Now, the mind is smarter than you. So the mind has a sense that in order for me to go forward, I need to possess or be possessed. Let me say that again. This is called the psychoanalytical theory. It is the division of the human psyche. So the human psyche immediately takes control of the thoughts and the behavior, and then it mediates between the person and the alter ego, and it creates as many alter egos as needed to either possess the necessary skills to go, in my case, I was a Marine, we had to go kill. So I wasn't going to go kill nobody. So I needed to possess or be possessed. So since I didn't possess, I became possessed. And then I learned, as from a child, that if you open yourself up to these dispositions or these isms, and all you got to do is establish a reasonable and logical reason why. Now, I'm going through all of this so that way you understand why we got so many religions. So all of these religions, now, if I can come up with a reasonable and a logical reason why I can strap a bomb to my chest, walk into a fast food restaurant and blow up 20 people, if you can give me a reason, I will create an alter ego to carry it out. Or I will open myself up through, in my case, anytime you make an emphatic statement with a lot of emotion, the demon that is close to that emotion, because emotions are energy in motion, he comes up. It's called a genie. It's called a jinn. Now, at birth, everybody is born with one. Now, please don't believe me. Please go to dictionary.com, type it in for yourself. I challenge you to type it in. So if you go to dictionary.com, and I've done this many, many times, and I challenge you to type in the word genius. I type in the word genus, G-E-N-U-S. Notice the word genus, G-E-N-U-S, is one letter short of the word genius. So G-E-N-I, put you in it, brother. Put you in it, sister. Then you become a genius. G-E-N-U-S, genes that make us. Genes that make us. This word, G-E-N, just like the book Genesis, and you, that's you, and S, us. This is, that word means the classification of a family. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. That word means the same definition of the word progenitor in the Greek that gives us the English word father or God or Lord in English. This is the science behind your God. That word means, in the Greek it means genos, G-E-N-O-S. In English it means gender, G-E-N-U-I-S. It means stock. Triple day, you go to the Bible and type in the word God and Lord. It means kurios. That means a class of people. It has to do, again, with the original word. It means kind. You are of a certain kind. We're of the God kind. It means kind or class. It is the biological race, stock, kind, family, descendant, origin, genos. In the Greek, it means generis, G-E-N-E. That's genes. What are you made of, brother? What are you made of, sister? Genes. And the word R-I-S. It means begotten. Now, Jesus said, I am the first begotten. This word, G-E-N-U-S. Please don't believe me. Please go to dictionary.com. Go down to the bottom of the page where it says word history and word origin. Look it up for yourself. It means, brother, in the Sanskrit, begotten. It means first begotten. It means firstborn of a particular race. It's a new race of people. It's a new race that's after what is called the procreative deity, which means genus or genius. So if I add you, your ego, into the genes of God, or the G-E-N-U-S, you get genius. The word genius means inborn tutelary demon or spirit. It means innate quality, inborn character. Inborn. That means you don't learn it. That's your diakonia. Inborn. You're born with it. It means a tutelary demon. Tutelary. The word genius means tutelary spirit. You got one of those. So I'm going to replace your tutelary spirit. That's what happened to me. If you have a traumatic event, it replaces your tutelary spirit. Now you should be asking yourself this question, Brother Will, what the hell is a tutelary spirit? Oh, I'm glad you asked. The word tutelary spirit, it means a guardian or a protector of a person. Now everybody at birth is assigned a guardian angel. Now, this is in all of the ancient texts. So you were born. The word tutelary powers, it means the powers of a guardian or a saint or a deity. Tutelary comes from the word tutor. So there is a deity that's assigned to you at birth. That gives you all of your ability. It means guardian. It means protector. It means watcher. Come on, somebody. Do anybody remember reading in the Bible about the watchers? They're here to watch you and to help humanity. They're here to guide and assist us, the watchers. But some of the watchers fail. And they stop being watchers and they start doing duels. They was watching you and they say, hey, we want to have sex with humans too. That looks pretty good. We never had sex before. So some of them watchers who came down again on Mount Hermon, they stop being watchers and tutelary guardians, and they start participating in the act. They start protecting. Instead of being your tutor, they became you. That's what demonic possession is. Demonic possession is when your tutelary demon decides to overtake your body and become you, to engage or to feel or to sense or become a part of this dimension. Tutelary. Now, it goes a lot further than this. But that's the basic understanding. So the ego, when you got an ego, that means that the demon that was there or the saint, if you want to use that term, that means that they cross over. That's why we are called Hebrews. The word Hebrew means hebo. The word hebo means he who crossed over. Your body is a freaking vehicle for a spirit that crossed over. That's why you're here. Now, you probably don't remember it, but you crossed over. At some point in time, the only way you can get on this planet, this is a prison for angels that left their first estate and crossed over. That's why you are Hebrew. I don't give a blank what color you are. Black people think that they got a freaking commodity on freaking people who crossed over. Come on, man. This is way deeper than that. So, Brother Will, what are you saying? Well, we're talking about God, right? Well, let me make sure you understand. So far, I've just broken down one word. It's been 30 minutes breaking down one word. G-E-N-U-S. Well, we get the word genius. That word simply means pater in the Greek, father and lord in English, God. So you got a God that is a tutelary entity. He is not the altruistic entity. He's an entity. He's not the big entity. He's a watered down. Now, remember, all of the other 118 elements are not hydrogen. They are watered down versions of hydrogen. All of the other, I don't even know how many religions there are, gods out there are a watered down version of the ego or the big God. So the ego is just how the watered down versions of God, if you will, express themselves. Okay, Brother Will, that's great, man. You wasted 30 minutes of my time. What else you got, brother? Okay, altruism. Let's blow some cookies. Altruism is the principle of unselfishness. It's total devotion to the welfare of others. That's why I said the whole purpose. Go to my website. What am I about? To take your purpose, produce a product, service, information that benefits others more than it benefits you, brother. More than it benefits you, sister. That's the definition of rich. I wrote that 20 years ago. It's inside of my book, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. Look at my definition of the word rich. The definition of the word rich is taking focus, discipline, and order. Taking all of your energy and make sure that you produce more in use value than you receive in monetary value. That's rich. A rich person is somebody who produces more than he consumes, and he got so much that he's produced, he can give stuff away. He got leftovers. That's altruism. Altruism is the unselfish concern and devotion to others. Egoism is the selfish concern and devotion to yourself. Now, Brother Will, come on, that sounds, I thought you said that, you know, we should be a single standing kind of waveform energy, brother. I thought you said that we're supposed to focus on ourselves, man. We're supposed to, you know, promote our purpose. Yeah, your spiritual self, not your flesh. The spirit automatically is altruistic. So all you got to do is walk in the spirit, and you cannot. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because altruism is all, it's true, and it's a doctrine or a principle. That's what God is. God is altruism. The one true God is an altruistic God. Brother Will, what does that mean? The one true God is the principle of unselfish concern. Period. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. The true big G, the big one, not the little one. The big G says, I'm going to produce the greatest benefit to others. Period. When you wake up this morning, every morning you wake up, that should be your statement. Every morning I wake up. Now, I didn't used to, because I used to be an egocentric maniac. I used to wake up, and this is what my statement. When I woke up, I said to myself, I want to cause the most harm. I want to con and manipulate and control. I want to mind elf as many people as I freaking can. Why? Bad shit has happened to me, so God damn it, somebody got to pay. That was my mentality 20 years ago. But on January the 1st of 2009, I had an encounter with the real God. And the real God said, son, that's not why you're on the planet. That's not why bad things happen to you. I'm trying to wake you up so that way you can deny yourself, pick up your cross, dear Kenia, and follow me. So that way you practice the unselfish concern for yourself, or the selfish concern for yourself, and you practice the unselfish concern for the welfare of others. So altruism, the big G, is altruism. It is the unselfish understanding the altar. Now, that's why we have an altar call, so that way you can meet the altruism or the altruistic God at the altar. So you have an altar call to go to the altar to meet the altar God. The word altar means change. So you go to the altar to have a change from egoism to altruism. But they don't tell you that. They tell you you go down to the altar, you have an altar call, you have this warm, fuzzy feeling, and you like, okay, yeah, I feel good. And that's it. Nobody tells you about the altruism God sends you to the altar to leave your ego and pick up again the golden rule. The altruistic God. The word alter means to change. But they don't tell you to change what. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, touch the minds of your people. If you go to dictionary.com right now, if you type in the word, again, altruism, go down to the bottom of the page, you'll read the definition. It will have a word in blue letters. That word in blue letters is the word altar. If you click on that word and you look at the word altar and you read the definition and you go down to the bottom of the page, you will see the word altar means to change. Altar. And if you look there's a word in blue letters and it will say aliases. If you click on that word, brother, if you click on that word, sister, it is to change the false you. It is to change the concealed identity. That is why you go to the altar at church, to leave the fake you there and find and pick up the real you. But you can't, because they don't tell you. They got half of it right, but they ain't got the other half. Because when I went to the altar, I left the real me, the old me there, and I left, and now I was a blank slate. And when I walked out the church door, there was a demon there waiting for me to say, hey, homie, now your house is clean. So guess what? There's seven more of us worse than the one that you just left. Can we come in? Well, no, man, I just got rid of y'all sorry mother. I ain't not trying to. Well, guess what, brother? We ain't asking. So they just kicked the door down and they came in. Seven more worse than the one I just got rid of. Why? Nobody told me. Did they tell you? When you go to church and you go down to the altar, what you are doing, brother, what you are doing, sister, is you're leaving the old man at the altar, the false you, your aliases, the one that is concealed, the unconscious you. You don't even know he's there. Do you guys honestly think I woke up every day and said I want to go hurt, harm, kill, and destroy people? No. I had some pain in my heart, brother. There was a hole in my chest that nobody could feel. And I was trying to feel that pain, man. And the only way I knew how to feel, like I couldn't feel it with nothing. So I did. I tried to replace it. So I practiced escapism. I was trying to escape. I was running. I was willing to do anything. It's like when I had my toothache, man, that one night it was hurting so bad that I actually had to go and do something to take my focus and my attention off of the pain. So I went exercise. I just ran to try to take the emphasis and the attention off of the pain. That's what you're doing. You're in so much pain that you run the church. And you get there and you're like, man, take this pain from me. You go down to the altar. And you dare to meet altruism. You dare to leave the ego and pick up the altruism. And for the most part, you do. And now you leave your aliases. Your alias, brother, your alias, again, is the other you. An alias is another time, if you want to use that word. It means otherwise. It means another time. It means in another way. It means beyond the self. It means the altered self. It means the alter else. So an alias is another you. So you're there to leave the fake you there and pick up the real you. So how do I pick up the real me? The way that I pick up the real me is I got to have an encounter with the real God. The only way to find the true authentic self is to find the true authentic God. That's what I did. I found the true authentic God in altruism that said something bad happens to you. But guess what? Something bad happened to other people too. The word alter, alias, there's a letter in blue underneath the word alias, and it's the word else, E-L-S-E. And you go down to the bottom of the page on dictionary.com, the word else, it means other. It means otherwise. It means different. It means in a foreign land. It means others. I'm reading this on dictionary.com. The focus on others. So then I took my eyes off myself, and I spent my entire life focusing on others. No problem. Devil got you there too. Then I'm a six, so he took my focus of others, and he made that a demon. And that became extreme. And so now I learned to weaponize care. So now I use my love for others as a weapon. And so I use my love for others to make the person that I love the most feel like shiznit. I could bring my wife on here right now and she would tell you that. My wife loves me, but she said, damn, man, you are so busy with your group. You so busy counseling other people that you make me feel like I don't matter. That's the enemy's job, is to make me use my gift to still call hurt and harm to people that I love. And he's doing the same thing to you. Even if you have an encounter with the true altruistic God, you use altruism, no problem. The devil sends seven demons into your life to make you become an altruistic doormat. Now you're walking around volunteering for everything. You're helping everybody else but yourself and your person who stands next to you, who washes your dirty clothes, who cares for you when you're sick and you're too busy saving the world to love yourself and the person that's standing right next to you. The devil got a plan. His plan is better than yours. So he pimps you out, brother, with your own gift. You're walking like a Hebrew slave, and the person standing right next to you, you don't even notice them, but you're too busy saving the damn world. I mean, that's what he did to me. But we still ain't exposed the real God. Brother Will, you like, I thought you were going to show me the real God, brother. You talked about altruism. Okay? That's great. But remember, the enemy uses manipulation. Now, the word manipulation is a skillful act. It is the skillful act. It is clever. It is the manipulation. Again, it's not necessarily deliberate. Usually it is, but most times it's not. So it means to skillfully handle you unfairly. I'm going to manage. What is kleronomos? Kleronomos is the household management. What is the word kurios in the Greek? We'll get the English word Lord. It means manage. The word God, it means voca, vocare. What it means manage. The word manipulation means to handle or to manage. It is the process. I want to manage your skill or your gift. So I wrote in my book, Masters of Manipulation, because that used to be me, because I was altruistic. So I got rid of the ego and I experienced the altruism. So even that was used against me. Now I became a weapon of care. So I went around and I cared for everybody that I spread myself so thin that I couldn't care for nobody. Because I promised and I overpromised and underdelivered. So people still feel like trash when they encounter me because they encounter me and they say, oh, I promise I'm going to do this. Hey, I'm going to do your deal. Can you report in a week? Hey, we're going to do one-on-ones. Hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to build a website for you. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I overpromise and underdeliver. So everybody is still pissed off, even though I've experienced the real God, because that's not the real God. Altruism is the door that leads you to the real God. What is the real God, brother? Well, the real God is found in three areas. He divides himself in math, music, and language. He's, again, there's a triune hex. You got a triune problem, so you need a triune solution. Okay, Brother Will, that sounds great, dog. What you got? Let's break it down. Okay, right now, you are under a hexagon. You are under a hexagram. And you are under a hexachord. Notice the word hex in all three of those words. Now, I triple dare you to do this. Anybody, like, really, like, if y'all for real? Are you for real, for real? If you for real, look up the definition of the word hex. If you for real. The word hex, now remember, you are under a hexagon. Gon means math. You are a hexagram. Gram means grammar. You are on a hexachord. Chord means musical instrument. C-H-O-R-D. Not C-O-R-D. C-H. Musical instrument. So there's a triune hex that you are under. So you need you got a triune problem. You need a triune solution. So let me make sure you over, under, and inner. Let's try it again. The three laws. Over, under, and inner. Let me say it again. Do you overstand? Do you understand? Do you innerstand? Are you on all three levels, brother? Or are you just dealing with one? You just got one. You got understanding. You got understanding. You're in deep kimchi. The devil, the Bible said that the demons, they got understanding. That don't mean nothing. You got two more levels to go. A hex means to be. It means to be witched. It means witchcraft. Let me make sure you understand. Father, touch the minds of your people. The word hex, don't believe me. Go to dictionary.com, look it up. Hex, it means witchcraft. It means to practice witchcraft. It means to practice a spell. S-P-E-L-L. Father, touch the minds of your people. Spell. Goth spell. It means charm. What do I do all day? Charm people. That's when you charm somebody, you put them under a hex. Why do you think witches, most of my friends on Facebook are witches? Think about it. I practice the same crap they do. And it's what it's called is hexagonal. Hex means six, H-E-X. Now, I've already did the show and wrote the book. A hexagram is a six-a-gram. A six-a-gram is a sexagram. Why do you think all my problems deal with an area of sex? All of my problems come from one problem, sex. Why? Because sex is six. Six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. That's flesh. That's the ego. That's the hex. Well, what is the hex, brother? It is a hexagon. It is a hexagram. It is a hexachord. So it is math, music, and language. So the devil uses this hex And the word hex represents the word, is from the word six, which comes from the word witch. So witches use hexes. And to practice, to be a witch, you got to understand grammar. Witches are masters of language. What do I do all day? Language. You don't understand. Well, you say, Brother Will, I don't know, dog. That's kind of a stretch. I know you're supposed to be revealing the real God. Trust me. It's coming. But I need you to understand how the real God that you think you got is actually not the real God. Because it is grammaria. Grammatus. See, the fake God hides in grammar. Now, you should be saying, well, Brother Will, I don't understand, dog. Well, how does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly? Yeah, they go through a process or a transformation. It's called metamorphosis. Now, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Metamorph. Metamorphosis. So metamorphosis means a biological change using witchcraft. Don't believe me? Type it in. Triple dare you to type it in. How does a biological caterpillar turn into what they call a pupa, P-U-P-A? And from a pupa, P-U-P-A, it becomes an adult butterfly. Well, it goes through what is called complete metamorphosis. How y'all think I became a metaphysician? It means a complete change of form, structure, and substance. It means a transformation by magic or witchcraft. What? Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Please don't believe me. Please. Please don't believe me. Please go to dictionary.com. Please look up the definition of the word metamorphosis. Please. Your salvation depends on you understanding what I'm trying to express to you today. Witchcraft. So what you are doing, brother, right now, that's what God says, hey, I'm going to use this foolish bullshitness called paganism. I'm going to pull out a few people out of this craziness. God said, I'm going to use the foolishness of preaching. Because preaching is witchcraft. I pray to God you don't believe me. Because I've already preached. I ain't read about it in no damn book. Look at the word meta and the word morph and the word cis. I don't have the time to break it down. We're almost out of time. Meta before. Morph, change form. It's the God of dreams. Remember when I said when I was a kid, I lived in the dream world and they used realism. My grandmother beat the snot out of me every day and say, boy, get your ass in reality. And I did. That was demonology. Love my grandmother to death. But my grandmother was a card-carrying witch. Now, she didn't know it. Just like you. I have a book called Christian Satanist. How the hell y'all think I wrote that book? Do you know when I wrote that book, I was talking with Satanists who was laughing at Christians? People ask me all the time, well, we cast out demons in Jesus' name. Have y'all ever watched any damn movie? Why is the Catholic Church always the one that's being used to cast out demons? Now in the military, a captain outranks a lieutenant. So if a lieutenant comes in and tells me to do something, and the captain comes in and tells me to do something, what the lieutenant said is overridden by the captain. I'm going to let that marinate. Now if the captain tells me to do something, there's a colonel. The colonel can come in and he can override what the captain says. Then there's a general. And then there's a lieutenant, then there's a brigadier, and then there's a four-star general. Yeah, that's a viceroy. His name is Lucian Farr. He's the highest-ranking general in the demonic realm. Where do you think you living at? I don't know if you understand the depth, brother. So let me expose you to the real God as I close. The real God is the golden means, M-E-A-N. It's called phase conjugation. That's why you go to a congregation, because the devil ain't stupid. He will let you go to a congregation. Take your ass there and sit all day if you want to. He don't give a flying banana. Congregate. He wants you there. He there too. The devil sits on the front row. Congregation is a large gathering of people for the purpose of worship. Now, worship is workship. So you should be working. How should we work, brother? You should take your gifts and you should give them to other people in the form of a product, a service, or information. That's what I do every day. That's worship. What I'm doing right now, I'm worshiping God, the real one. So when you go to a congregation, you're not doing no phase conjugation. Now you say, Brother Will, what the hell does that mean? So you got phase congregation, but you don't have conjugation. Now conjugation, now we're getting somewhere. Because conjugation is voice, mood, tense. It is the inflection. It is the change. It is the heart's ability to implode. What? See, phase conjugation is when love is expressed from the heart. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm closing with the revelation of the real God. Phase conjugation is simply the mathematical, the grammatical, it is the math, it is the English, and it is the musical properties and characteristics that operate on what they call a holographic plate. That means that it does an interfering wave form non-linear pattern. What does that mean? That simply means that is when love interferes with hate. Phase conjugation is the physical transformation of a waveform energy field resulting in the reverse propagation direction in phases. Brother Will, could you say that again in English? Okay, it's a what they call a hologram. It is a holographic manipulation of a pattern. What does that mean? Phase conjugation is another word for the golden meaning. Now, what does the golden mean? Now, notice, first of all, it's golden. Now, we already talked about this before, so I'm going to whip through this, give me about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're done. Phase conjugation, this is God. The golden means is 1.61. That is the ideal, what they call position between two extremes. Father, touch the minds of your people. The golden means the mathematical location. It is the best position between two extremes. Father, touch the minds of your people. It is the best position between two extremes. It is the mathematical formula for the golden ratio. Now, golden means, it comes from the word Goldilocks. The story, that means there is a desirable position between two extremes. You're not bipolar. You're not very, very, very angry. You're not very, very, very this. It is the best position to be in. The golden means, that is the position of God, and that's the golden thread that runs through all the religion. That's the golden mean. That golden mean turns into what they call the golden ratio. Now, the golden ratio is the mathematical formula, because remember, the hex is math, music, and language. So we got to have a math, music, and language solution. So we got the golden means, which is the grammar. We got the golden ratio, which is the math. And then we got the golden rule, which is the music. So what tune should be playing through your head right now? The golden rule. What is the golden rule? Now, everybody knows this, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, that's God. Now, I talked for an hour to tell you what you already know. Now, you should be saying this with Brother Will. I don't understand, Brother Will. You talked about all of this stuff, man. I talked about all of this stuff so I can show you the biological proof using the word metamorphosis and the spiritual proof using the word genius. The word genius, tutelary demon, changes you, make you smart. Or make you dumb. Or he's your tutor. Now you change biologically by the witchcraft. Witchcraft is grammar. So anybody that can do what I'm doing right now, that's what witches do. Now they just know how to do it. See, you doing it unknowingly. So at least if I'm going to be a witch, I'm going to be the best. I'm gonna be, for male witches, it's called a warlord or a wizard. So now people call me all the time for the last 20 years. That's a fool right now on my YouTube channel. Said, you know, yeah, but you're a wizard. He said, I'm a wizard. That means you're doing the same shit as I'm doing. And he said that you are a, what did he say? A mason. Yeah, he said you're a Freemasonry witch. Because why? Because he recognizes the terminology. And he's like, hey, that fool's saying the same thing. He lost all my book titles and stuff. Hey, he saw Clarinomics Temple Building. Hey, that's a Freemason term. He calls himself Master Teacher 33. Hey, that's a satanic 33 satanic number. Master Teacher, that's masonry. He's a satanic mason. Now, When I found that out, I didn't know it at the time I coined the name. Just like I didn't know at the time I chose emerald green for my colors that that was Satanist. I didn't know. That's the color of growth. I didn't know Satan was about growth. I thought God was about growth. I didn't know. Now that I know, you think I'm going to change? Hell no. Moses was an Egyptian. Moses didn't choose to be an Egyptian. Moses didn't say, hey, mama, put me in this basket. Send me over to the Pharaoh's daughter so I can be raised as an Egyptian. God orchestrated Moses' life because he knew he was sending Moses back to Egypt. God orchestrated my life because he knew he's going to send me back to pagans. I freaking save pagans and Satanists. That's what I do. Every day out of it. So my message ain't for the freaking church. So church people don't get what I'm saying. And I don't give if they don't get it. That ain't my job. It's not Moses' job to change and help his people understand, hey, why you like helping Hebrews? Oh, I'm sorry, Egyptians. God called Moses the same way God called me. My message is for pagans and Satanists and for Christians who don't know they're paganists and Satanists. Just like I didn't know. You said, well, Brother Will, what does that mean in English? Oh, okay, let me break it down for you. Grammar, the word grammar, okay, I've done this 1,000 times, so we'll do it quick. Because the golden means, I got one more thing I need to share with you before we wrap it up. So that way you make sure that you encounter the true God and y'all stop playing church. The word grammar is the way by which sentences are constructed. It has the first word, it's called morphology. Morph means to change form in the dream world. Ology means based upon words. You give me words, I change your dream. Period. That's what it means. If I talk long enough, yeah, I can change what you think. So can anybody else. That's why you got to be careful who you listen to. I'm trying to change you to follow the golden rule. Somebody else is trying to change you to follow your ego. Which one you got? Now, I broke it down, the seventh thing, but I just want to read you the definition of the word grammar. Down at the bottom of the page, grammar, Old English, grammare, it means learning. In the Latin, it means magic. It means incantation. It means spell. It means mumbo jumbo. It means irregular, semi-popular adoption. Latin, grammatica. Grammatic, it means the art of letter writing. And then you keep on reading, blah, 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 since my name, blah, blah, words, rules of language, post-grammar, meaning to learn, particular the knowledge, blah, blah, blah. And it goes down to grammar, meaning learning, including astrology and magic, hence the secondary meaning of occult knowledge that have evolved into the Scottish, evolved from the Scottish word glamour, G-L-A-M-O-R. It means to be taught to be a grammar caster, mean verbal pennant. Basically, you wear a verbal pennant from being a grammar caster. It's an occult word, meaning to cast. Magic. But notice the word that's highlighted in blue, where the word grammar comes from, is the word glamour. G-L-A-M, and then our. Glamour, glamour. You're like, hey, I want to be glamorous. What's wrong with being glamorous, right? These little girls, they want to be glamorous. They want to dress up. The word glamour. Look, go down to the bottom of the page, the word glamour. Somebody, please, please, anybody. Now, remember, it's the root word for the word grammar. Glamour, Scottish, magic, enchantment. It means to cast glamour. It means grammarry, magic, enchantment, using a spell. An alteration of the English word grammar. Any type of a scholarship, occult learning. Do you know that learning is occult? I didn't know learning was occult. I didn't know if I go to school, that's practicing the occult. Everybody told me, hey, don't practice the occult. That means that you should not go to school. I mean, just based upon the definition. Now, anybody want to really blow their cookies? Type in the word glamour, charm, smell. It means magic, spell, charm. But the word, that word glamour, if you go to Google and type in the word glamour, G-L-A-M-O-U-R, glamour. Now, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, they had glamour shots. You go take pictures. But click on the word glamour. I type the word glamour. And then if you click on images, it's interesting. Because it brings up mostly pictures of women, you know, with nice hair, nice makeup, and partially clothed. Glamour. It has a connotation of sex. That's part of the whole hex. So the true God cuts through all of this. Because glamour, grammar, all of this stuff that I spent the whole show talking about is removed by one thing. How do you remove it? What's the secret? This is it, the golden rule. Brother Will, what's the golden rule? Now, everybody knows it already. The golden rule, again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it's all through the Bible. It is the rule of ethical conduct, again, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's God. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means, though. So the golden rule is rules of fair conduct. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7:12. Or thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:28. The golden rule. Again, the golden rule. It is the rule of three. The golden rule is called the rule of three. Basically means do unto others. That's it. So God says this. God says, I am the rule of three. It is a method of finding the terms. Again, now you can look this up. It's a mathematical, what they call multiplying denominator. It is a ratio. It's a mathematical formula, anyway, for establishing, leaving a significant possession, a mark. That's what we want to do. So if I want to leave a significant impression, a mark upon you, I'm going to treat you the way you want to be treated. And that is going to regene you. That's God. God is in the G-E-N-O-U-S. That's what we started with. G-U-N-U-S. Genus. That's what we started the show with, that word. And we're ending the show with G-E-N-U-S. G-E-N-U-S. That, my brothers and sisters, means your job on earth is, this is the biological subdivision of a family. This separates the wheat from the chaff. I am using biology to separate the family. The family of God from the family of the devil. I'm going to become a genius. I'm going to put the letter I in G-E-N-I-S. So everything that the devil meant for evil, I'm using the devil's system for good. Now, the reason why I get into a lot of trouble, all witches and warlocks and wizards, they know this. They can't figure out how I know because I didn't go to their schools. Now, people say I'm a Mason. I don't even argue with people anymore. I ain't never been no damn Mason. I don't have time to be no freaking Mason. I ain't going to go through all of them freaking traps. I don't have nothing about no skull. I don't know. Skull and crossbones, really? The Thylemic Order of the Golden Dawn? These synagogue of Satan? All these fools have contacted me and told me, how do I know this? Because you're supposed to take what I do, I'm supposed to disembowel myself. Because you're not supposed to reveal their secrets to the peasants or to the goyim or the goyims. Which they call you, G-O-Y-I-M. That means that you're a normal member. You know, really that means pig. So I get death threats and I get these nasty emails from people who are members of these societies because they think I'm a member because they say, there's no way this dude can know this unless he read our books. I didn't read their books, man. I know their God. And their God is a God of egoism. He's a God of 666. He's a God of hex, hex, hex. He's a hexagon. He said, I can't even play no musical instruments, yet I know everything about the missing element. I got a book called The Missing Shin. And like, how you know that? Nobody on earth knows that. Only them. Go talk to a Satanist and ask him, what is the missing shin? Because they know that our religion don't got no teeth because they took it out. And I put it back. And they don't understand why or how. Now look up the name of God that you got. It's called Yah-Heh-Vah-Heh. There is no shin. His name is Yah-Heh-Shin-Vah-Heh. Ask the Satanists how they know and you don't. And you go to church every day, every Sunday. And you have never heard of the missing shin. Go to Google and type it in. S-H-I-N. Triple dare you to, Christian. But you're not going to do it. I know you're not because you're too busy. You really don't want to know the truth. Because then you have to answer to the God of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think it is 8, 9, and 10. God will send you a strong delusion so that way you will believe Akruman, evil brother. That way you will believe the lie. Why? Why did God send you a strong delusion? Because you do not have a letheia. You do not have a love of the truth. What is the love of the truth? The golden rule. What is the golden rule? Leave your gift at the altar. Get up. Go ask your brother for forgiveness. Your brother that you see every day, who you hate, but the God that you have not seen, you claim you love. God ain't interested in that. That's bullshitness. That's what we have today. So, brothers and sisters, the golden rule is God. The golden rule is called the law of reciprocity. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to break down God a little bit deeper. This is the science behind the principle of treating other people the way you wish to be treated. Man, this was Greek to me. I've been going to church all my life, preaching and all this stuff. And I just basically, hey, you piss me off, I'm going to piss you off. You know what you talk about my mama, I'm going to talk about your mama. You do me harm, I'm going to do you harm. But there is a social, psychological part of a spiritual law that we don't understand. It's called reciprocity. So the law of reciprocity, it allows us to receive as a result of what we give and how we give it and what we do to other. What we do to other. Now, I've never heard nobody talk about no law of reciprocity in church, because that word reciprocity is not in the Bible, but that's what it means. All I do is I give you the psychology about how and what everybody is preaching. This is the law of abundance. This is why you're not rich. This is why Christians can't have money. It's a law. You are violating this law. Without understanding the power of the renewed mind that it talks about in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest time will remain. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, it shall not cease. Genesis 8, 2. Now, if you don't understand that, what does that mean? That means there's a season. See, I was pissed off because I wasn't rich all the time. I didn't know. Nobody told me. The church didn't tell me. You know, the demons, the devil, he damn sure wasn't going to tell me. Because hey, this fool figured this out. Then he ain't going to beat himself up. Then he's going to stop cheating on his wife. He's going to stop doing all the bad stuff. Because this fool thing, he's supposed to be in the freaking seed time 24/7. He did not understand the law of reciprocity. He didn't understand that there's a season. So I figured it out that in September, October, November, that's my desert time. That's my winter. So now I don't beat myself up. I don't get mad. I don't go out and cheat on my wife. I don't go out and do all the self-destructive stuff that I was doing, because now I understand there's a freaking time that I am not going to reap. There's a time I need to be planting. There's a time I need to sit my black ass down and learn something. You ain't on the mountaintop 24/7, brother, contrary to what they tell you at church. There is God, the real God, is cyclical. There's a cycle to everything. I didn't know. So I'm over here crying, begging, trying to figure out why in the world they told me I had psychological problems. They said, brother, take these pills, and then you will be high on the mountaintop all the time. That's not God. God said, look, homie, there's a time to plant, and then there's a time to pluck up. There's a time to laugh, then there's a time to cry. There's a time to live, then there's a time to die. Well, I thought I was supposed to be wealthy, healthy, and wise, 24/7, 365. No, that's not the big G. That's the little G, blowing smoke up your butt. Brothers and sisters, God is the God of the golden rule. But the golden rule means do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Then you will understand the law of reciprocity, which we break down tomorrow, which is a part of the golden rule, which is the biggest part of the golden rule. Because you can't be nice to people who treat you like trash unless you understand. When you return good for evil, it's like reaping coals of fire upon their head. Yeah, that's how you plant. So we're going to break down how you sow in the desert so you can reap in the garden. We break it down tomorrow. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because He will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like. I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming.